Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight, Lisa Crossman, always a pleasure to have you, curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, and she is joined both in the studio and on phone by artists Allison Maria Rodriguez. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Imna Arroyo. Imna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're talking about the exhibition After Spiritualism, Loss and Transcendence in Contemporary Art at the Fitchburg Art Museum. It's going to be up to June 7th. Lisa, I want to talk to you first.
Wonderful.
Talk to me about the organizing principle of this show, because it's really complex. It has a lot of different parts of it. By the way, I want to say congratulations. It's another fantastic show, and you can get lost in any one piece. And yeah. I found myself getting lost in any one piece.
Yeah, so the show is a little complicated, but it's about loss. It's about loss, and that's the sort of simplest way to put it, I think. It's it examines shared and personal losses as explored by contemporary artists.
But also about how people remember loss.
It's how these losses carry over into our everyday lives. It's how they affect the present. And so in order to sort of dig into this topic, I thought that spiritualism, which is a movement that developed in the United States in the 19th century, so spiritualism was and still is a science, a philosophy, and a religion. And one of its underlying core principles is the idea that communication with the dead and the living is possible. Not only is it possible, but it's verifiable. And also that the soul continues to evolve. And so whether or not you believe this, I think that it's a really amazing framework to use to just think about the desire that we have to communicate with the dead and the need that we have to communicate with the loss, with losses that we have and the ways that we deal with trauma and those sort of bridges between different divides. And so the work in the show really explores this in varying ways. And so to organize it, I set up three sections in the exhibition, and there's a sort of tonal shifts as you move through the galleries.
Oh my God, is there tonal shifts?
So the heaviest area is called historical.
You mean
hauntings.
The most serious?
Yeah, it deals with a lot of trauma. And so it's called historical hauntings, and the section really focuses on the residue of the Civil War and also colonialism.
And so, crossing the Atlantic.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there are memorials in this area. Some of them are very personal, and some of them are reflecting on public monuments and memorials. And then you move from this into a section called Ritual and Transformation. And this section feels a little bit lighter, even though you do have some work like Imna's that's looking at the Middle Passage. But it's all really seeing how, like, these rituals that we undertake, and some of the artworks reflect on rituals tied to spiritualism.
A lot of them are interactive.
A lot of them are interactive. Yep.
And that was different about the show. Mm-hmm. And Imna's piece is very interactive. Imna, talk to me about the piece that you have in the show.
Okay, I have. Hi, how is everybody?
Good.
we're doing good.
Good.
And I really loved. Now, what I've noticed about your piece, because I looked at other examples of your work, is these are pieces both that you've done as two dimensional pieces, but you've also done three dimensional installations of similar work. Correct.
Correct. Correct. And they all focus on the experience of the trauma of the Middle Passage.
Yeah.
And reflecting upon that experience, basically, I traveled to Africa and had the great fortune of actually being in those spaces and having an understanding of what it means, what it meant for people to have such an experience, and how the trauma of the past carries to our present in many ways. And the acknowledgement that those experiences actually happened, because we tend to read in the textbooks those experiences, but they're not three-dimensional. You don't feel them.
Right.
You don't have a sense of them until you visit Elmina or Cape Coast in Ghana or Nigeria. It's like going to the sites where the Holocaust happened.
It suddenly becomes
real.
Was that the first time it became real too?
For me, it was the first time that became real, indeed. And it was basically like a physical experience, because I felt it very physical. I felt that my voice came out different. When somebody said, "This is the door of no return."
Yes, yes. I know where that is. Yeah.
I felt physically, and just how my voice came out. I said, "No, we returned." Just having an understanding that we are part of a continuum, that our energy is been here from the beginning of time, having experiences.
Now, you've also done a part of this that the viewers of your piece can participate in.
Yes.
Talk about that was really important to me because my uncle just died, and it was uncle I'm very close with. He was 98 and had a really active life, traveled all around the world. And just happened, and I felt myself immediately feeling an interesting sense of calm participating in it. Talk to me about what people can do.
Okay. So when I did the installation of the Ancestors of the Passage, which is a whole installation with ceramics, I always put in the altar in which people can actually express their feelings for their own losses. We experience death in many ways. We experience death as traumatic experiences, but we also experience death as a way of passing to the other world, to another place. And sometimes we have unfinished business, and it's important that have an outlet in which people can send notes, send a message to people that needed to say something else. Things were left behind, not in a complete way, but also to express gratitude, to express the love that one had. And sometimes, you know, those we bury the dead and we continue our daily life and forget that those spirits are next to us, wanting to communicate with us. And those who know that will do the practice, but sometimes we are not conscious about it. And it's just the altar is to give people the opportunity to see that the we can interact with the invisible and express our love, our concerns, and connect.
What will happen to the little pieces of paper that people fill out?
What we're going to do is in June, when the weather is beautiful, we will go outside and create a beautiful fire, and we will put them in the fire and let the messages burn and bring the messages to the beyond.
That's a really traditional, it's a very traditional in several cultures of communicating to the afterworld.
Yes, yes. You do it through water. You know, sending things through water, or, you know, through fire, and it's basically, you know, that's the idea.
Now, Allison, yes. I want to talk to you. And what's amazing about this show, and it's a credit to Lisa, there are so many different kinds of materials used. You did essentially several different video installations. Now, your pieces are about loss and connecting it to both the natural world, the environment, but also your family. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
I was interested in, I consider a lot of my work to be environmental work.
Yeah.
And I try to approach talking about the environment in more intimate ways, I think, than we're accustomed to
seeing. It's a different kind of conversation. You know, I'm very interested, and I have been interested in environmental work for a long time. I had a different experience with your work because it involved, you brought it down to the personal human level too.
That's my hope, is comparing this ecological and cultural loss together. So the distancing we feel to other species paralleled along the distancing that I and many others feel towards our culture. So making that comparison and it being about loss and a shared oneness, that everything exists in an organic whole.
The video pieces seem incredibly complicated. Is the process of creating them very tough?
Yes.
Oh, God.
They are very time intensive.
I'm actually totally relieved that you said that, because I was going to say, wow, if she just said it was really easy, I'm going to feel really like...
No. Could you describe your piece a little bit, Allison? Because basically... There are
several pieces.
In this section of the museum, it's divided into three sort of spaces that we're calling sacred spaces.
And she's in a...
She's in a small video gallery, and I think that it does feel like a sacred space, and I wonder if you could just kind of explore the components and and speak to that.
Definitely. So I do consider that I was creating a sacred space. I consider it to be one video installation, all of it together. There's multiple pieces that feature a different one of my ancestors from Cuba who's deceased, alongside extinct and endangered species and a different hurricane that impacted Cuba. So each different video that's kind of a collage created from live video, drawing, photography, digital animation, a lot of green screening work.
Each one of those
is named after one of my ancestors and the hurricane. And then there's also somewhat of an altar type structure in there that suspends a dress that I'm wearing in all of the different videos. And that dress is something I actually found online. And it was sold as a Puerto Rican, Costa Rican, Cuban 12-year-old girl festival dress. And I felt
so as if all that stuff was interchangeable?
Yes.
Of course it is.
But in a way, I felt an affinity to this dress because it did have a certain amount of authenticity to it, as long with being a representation of a popular culture notion of Cuban culture. So I feel like I'm sort of in between in that way as well. So the dress, in a way, I identified with it.
Inya, I want to talk about the materials that you used in this, in the pieces that are up in this. Is this like encaustic?
No, they're not.
But you have worked with you have worked with encaustic.
I have worked with encaustic. Those are, if you're referring to the Preludio series.
Yes.
Okay. Those are watercolors and gouache and ink.
And they're very, very thick, though, isn't it?
Yes, they are. And the paper is very strong as well. But the idea was that I worked with Professor Barbara Mollett from Eastern Connecticut State University. She passed. And we both had the experience of being in Ghana and visiting the Door of No Return. So she wrote a script from which I worked the images from. It got inspired by the Book of the Dead of the Egyptians. And I was also relating it to, you know, the different stages within the Catholic religion. And that's how there are 12 pieces and 6 of them are in exhibition. The idea was later to work in encaustics, but I left them as drawings, as they are right now, expressing the different stages in which one transition, you know, the transition that the ancestors had as they were moving through those experiences into the new world.
What's interesting, talking to Allison and talking to you, Imna, you talked about hurricanes, and the first thing I thought of when I knew, Imna, you're from Puerto Rico.
Yes, I am.
And talk about problems of loss. Puerto Rico is going through a really dark period right now and still recovering from the hurricane.
No, yes, we are, and the terremotos as well.
Yes,
the earthquakes.
Yeah. Yes.
Right at this moment. And the sense of loss that we have lost more than 5,000 people that have not been any recognition for those losses, during and after the hurricane is painful.
I can imagine.
It is so detrimental to all of us, to our psyche and the way we feel, that there's a sense of not caring, you know, that we have been part of the United States.
don't even go there. Oh my God, is that
we are American
citizens. I know that you're preaching the converted,
and we have been not acknowledged as basic human rights at this moment in this circumstance. So it's a very, very painful situation for us.
Now, Lisa.
Yes.
We've been talking with Allison and Imna about very serious things, okay? The sort of crazy thing about this exhibition is There are really funny pieces in this show too.
Yeah, well, there needs to be a bit of levity. And also in thinking with about spiritualism, and also I weave in espiritismo, which is has some similarities, but sort of came, you know, from France and into the Caribbean and Latin America, and there are some differences.
But you also have
communication with the dead. But
ectoplasmic photographs,
yes,
which were classic during the Madame Blavatsky period
of
spiritualism.
And so spiritualism, I mean, something that's so fascinating if you sort of read about its history is, on the one hand, it sort of was tied to women's rights movement,
right,
and suffrage and abolitionism. But at the same time, it was very theatrical, you know, and scandalous at times. And also, like, really significant. Like, so many people flocked to it, even if they weren't spiritualists, especially after the Civil War, because of a massive loss of life. So I love all of the ways in which it sort of, like, seeps out into culture and is all of these things kind of at once. And so in thinking about the show, I really thought it was important to sort of show how artists are sort of thinking really seriously and deeply about these painful subjects, but then also, like, thinking about this sort of levity and sometimes humor that we use to cope, or like to
there's an amazing
create mechanisms to
there's
cope.
An amazing shrine to Santa Claus.
Yes.
I was surprised to see that Raul Gonzalez was participating in that.
Yeah, so this is a piece by Rhonda Rattray. She's based in Vermont, and she became really interested in Saint Nick as this kind of saint who is kind to everyone and generous, you know, to children and so on and so forth. And she did these ex voto paintings that capture near-death experiences, including the artist who's based in Boston, Raul Gonzalez, who has this wild near-death experience of
flying off
a water slide. And so I think that she does a really nice job of sort of, you know, showing something that's really terrifying, and near-death experience is terrifying. And there are a number of artists in the show who've experienced near-death experiences, but she creates this kind of the sanctuary that feels uplifting at the same time. And I think a lot of the work, even when it's serious, I think that there's this sense of hope that's embedded in it, and this sense of like agency in some of the work, and like calling people to think about
shrine,
it.
The shrine aspects to many of the pieces to me really touched me. There's a floor piece that lights up as you stand on it. And as with a lot of shows at FAM, each piece you have to spend time with.
Yes.
And you have chairs out. There are places where you have to sit in order to experience these pieces. And I want to encourage people who go to the show, you know, don't just do the usual gallery thing. You have to really get involved with these pieces. Emnya, I want to talk to you about your work. Did you always do this kind of work? What was the earliest artwork that you did? Like, were you doing regular paintings? How were you attracted to this subject matter?
Basically, I studied in Puerto Rico, so a great deal of my work at the time was dealing with more with national political themes in my work. And when I came to study at the United States, I went to Pratt Institute, and I got very much involved in the gesture, abstract expressionism.
Wow.
And from there, very much interested in dance. So all of that carried my work until I started dealing with themes of feminism, the sense of being, you know, being a woman and feeling a sense of space and freedom and all of those things. And while I was working with that, I traveled to Africa, and that's what made the difference in my work. Then suddenly I was looking more introspectively as a woman, as a Black woman, living in the United States, of Latino heritage, Afro-Boricua. Then suddenly all of those things came into a conversion, and ones have to deal with it.
So you essentially,
you know, that sense of identity.
So you had an experience. I mean, it's a sort of a sea change, interior spiritual experience that changed your work.
Yes.
Is it? I mean, am I making too much of it, or would you say that that's true?
No. I will tell you that after going my first trip to Ghana, my friends even said, you changed completely. Even my hair changed. I started using dreads. I immediately started traveling to Cuba because then I got so interested in the spiritual world that I had no experience. So I started getting involved with the practice of Santeria.
Oh, yeah.
And the involvement with the ancestors. So my journey came from going to, you know, to identify myself as a Black woman, and what do you do with that? What are the dimensions of that?
Allison, I have
that. Cuba, which is a place that has done so much research on maintaining their cultural heritage. So it was very easy and very welcoming to go every year to the conferences dealing with Afro-Cubans, Afro-Latinos, and to really engage in the investigation of one's identity as a Black person in the Caribbean.
Allison, I'm going to ask you that same question. Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in the evolution of artists. What was your earlier work like? And did you start out as a video artist?
I actually, my undergraduate degree is in literature. So I kind of came to artistic practice
okay.
a little later
Hold
on.
It. So was there a moment where you finally realized this is not what I really want to do for the rest of my life?
No, I actually took a photography elective class my senior year, and I just fell in love with image making.
See, that's the thing that scares me. I've interviewed a number of artists who were like on the way to becoming a doctor or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they take one class, and if they hadn't taken that mm-hmm. one class, their heart, whatever they want to do, really wanted to do, would never be found. I really worry about people not doing that. So that really changed your life. And so you got into video from that point. So you were doing video from day one.
Well, I started with photography, and then I moved into video and film, and then moved into this kind of digital animation type installation work that I do now. I consider myself an interdisciplinary artist,
sure.
and I'll work in any medium that makes sense, but it just usually tends to be video installation for me.
What's the largest installations that you've done?
I've done quite a few pieces for the Art on the Marquee, which is an outdoor 80-foot by 24-foot, seven-screen structure at the Boston Convention Center. And then other than that, these rooms that I've kind of had the opportunity to transform are also, that's what I do. That's what I love, is having a room, an entire space that I can transform.
Color is a huge part of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talk to me about learning to embrace color. For artists, that's a major problem, is finally coming to mm-hmm. terms with color and how to use it.
I had no problem with that. I've just always been...
of course you
did. I've been very, very attracted to really bright, really vibrant, vivid color.
Yeah.
And I've never had any issue.
That's
with
okay.
It.
That's
feel I love it. So.
Okay, so you've always embraced it.
I've always loved color, yes.
Okay. Lisa, that's another thing about this show.
It's
that
very colorful.
It's incredibly colorful.
It is.
And in both serious ways and in not so serious ways. Hanging a show like this is going to be really tough.
Yeah, I mean,
did you wait till you got the work before you put the organizing principles in it,
No. Yeah, okay. I definitely planned around the work that was coming in, and some of the pieces had very specific spaces, and others were sort of more movable. But the sort of organization around these themes, I thought, was important, just sort of for kind of shaping the experience from space to space, but also thinking about the relationships between works.
Yeah.
Like, there is some humor, but I also didn't want to throw a really humorous piece in a place where it necessarily...
No. It would have been horrible. It would have been horrible.
So there's, like, a little corner that has, like, you know, EVP equipment
right.
on an altar, and the, you know, ectoplasm photos and postmortem photography and all of those sort of dialogue together, right? Whereas... You know, in the other gallery, the historical hauntings, you can hear people singing John Brown's song, That's a Leila Ali video. And then
by the
you
way,
have
that,
these
that's,
other reflections.
That's driving the gallery Warren. People crazy.
I imagine it is. Everyone has it stuck in their head.
It is. It's like I was talking to them and they were like, mass. But that there it is. It's like it's turning up in their dreams.
It's turning up in their dreams.
Imya, what was the largest installation you've done?
A full room with the ancestors and a series of the Yemaya, the many faces of Yemaya and the casa and the house of Yemaya. Yeah.
Wow. Where was that?
A room and a gallery with multimedia as well, in collaboration with my technical artist friends that support my work, and especially my son, which is a graphic designer.
Give him a shout out. What's his name?
James Nicholas.
Okay.
It's Winner Arroyo. Yes. Yes. So the family is so wonderful to have children. They're really ahead of you with technology, and they support you.
Lisa, we only have a few minutes left. There's some special events coming up with the show.
Yeah, I want to mention just two events for now and encourage everyone to go to our website to see more. So the next event will be on April 5th at 1:30, and that is a talk about spiritualism and espiritismo, and we will have an artist, a practicing certified medium, and some scholars speaking to those subjects. But I want to, before we run out of time,
You got time. I got to stop you about the, are you going to do like table turn?
No, it's going to be a panel discussion, really. We're gonna talk about these things.
You're not gonna do the old fashioned spiritualism. No. Oh, come on.
We're gonna talk, and then if people want to explore the more experiential,
I think you should be generating ectoplasm right in the gallery.
We did,
and then nail it to the wall.
We did think of doing an ectoplasm workshop that didn't work out.
That would have been a crowning achievement. I thought it would have been fantastic.
Maria Moltini, who's has the ectoplasm selfie work, that's there. There's a scene that goes with it, and we were going to have a workshop. But
by the way, for people who go in to see those photographs, there's a whole history to the way those photographs look that you may not be aware of. That's part of that whole thing. I mean, there were books of ectoplasmic photographs that came out at the end of the 1800s.
Yeah, I encourage everyone who comes to the show to, as Mark said, to spend time with the work, and then also and if something interests you, do some research, look it up, because there's so many sort of areas
you can always have a great educational section.
We do, and that
and
explores
in the case
of
an exhibition like this, which is very complex, it's really helpful.
It is so helpful.
Some people, they think it's only for kids, it's not.
And we have some great historical objects in the learning lounge as well. So we have a spirit photograph from the 19th century. We have a spirit slate, and there are other objects. So you can really explore some. There's a lot to explore. The last event I wanted to mention is the closing event on June 7th, which is when we will burn the messages that people are leaving on Imna's.
And Imna, you're going to be there for that?
Oh, yes, I am.
Excellent. Okay, we are completely out of time. And we could be talking for hours, but we're out of time. My guests tonight are Lisa Crossman, curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And
joining us by
phone and in the studio are artists Allison Maria Rodriguez and Imna Arroyo. Both of you, thank you so much for your presence. It was really added a lot to my experience. Thank you all for being here. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.
Good night.